28 days from Christmas Day and the celebration of our Lord coming. And I pray that y'all had a wonderful Thanksgiving and that you spent time with your family and your friends. And I pray that the Lord blessed you this Thanksgiving. But we are now entering a new season. And sadly enough, I think Kurt mentioned it last Sunday or the Sunday before. We are unfamiliar, especially in America, with the Christian calendar anymore and how the year is broke down. And it's something that you probably, if you're unfamiliar with, it's something you might want to research and look at, because it really is broken into parts for you to worship, to help God's people to worship year-round. There's a train of thought that goes through, and this is the first Sunday. This is a new year, a new Christmas year, or a new Christian start of our new year in the Christian calendar. The first Sunday of Advent, for us to prepare our hearts as believers for the coming of Christ. And as Kurt said, not just celebrate His first coming as Savior, but also to prepare ourselves and to continue to hope for His second coming. Things for us to prepare ourselves. The Christmas season is upon us. It's here again. And as always, I know for my family, one of the things that I struggle with the most, and for the church, not just New Hope, but the church in America, the church in the South, the church in the world, I have a fear that we're losing sight of this most blessed and holy celebration. A lot of people don't mind celebrating the birth of this baby, the birth of Jesus, but they really don't want to hear about why He is truly the Son of God. They will happily sing hymns and songs of His nativity. You can, on your radio, I'm sure there are many Christmas songs that are being played even now, in department stores, in drug stores, and in any store you go in, I'm sure that you will hear Christmas songs and great, wonderful hymns of the faith that you will hear. But many will reject the authority of Jesus as Lord. And not just Lord of their lives, but Lord of all. They don't mind. I don't know if I should say they want to. They definitely don't mind to adore Him as an infant. But they will not and don't want to pay Him homage, to Him as creator and sustainer of all life. They can tolerate these trappings. If you just pay attention and you look at all these things that the Christmas season brings, and the meaning behind these things, they can tolerate these trappings. And a lot, for a lot of them, they don't even think. It's gotten so routine in their lives, they don't even think about it anymore. The manger, and what does that mean? And the shepherds, the angels, the wise men, the star, Joseph and Mary, the baby Jesus, and of course, great, wonderful hymns of the faith that you will hear and find people even singing and knowing the tunes. But can they bear the thought of why Jesus came. The coming of God in human flesh. The world wants to ignore all that Christmas is truly about. And they want the holiday, and they embrace the holiday and all the things that seem to go along with this, but not really the meaning of it. Instead of loving Jesus more, in a way, they mock Him. I pray that we don't. I pray that our children don't. I pray that we don't get caught up in this trap. And that's one reason why the church calendar was set up, so that we could have time to prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ. That you can mentally and spiritually and physically prepare your homes and your life for the celebration of the coming of Christ, that you don't get caught in the trappings. And these trappings have been around for a long time. We find ourselves so caught up in what we think is happening with us now. But these trappings have happened for years. Now, in some ways, there's a lot of differences. That's things that are happening right now in America especially. But there's always been traps, and that's why we have this time, or the church celebrates Advent, for us to prepare ourselves. In our world today, Christmas has become all about us, and very little about Him. I've often thought in my own family, how would Christmas be if we absolutely had no presents at all? How would that be? If we really focused on these 28 days, this year it's 28 days, we really focused on this time to prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ. What are we going to get? What are we not going to get? How do we have time off? Can we do this? Can we do that? The enemy must love this world's celebration of Christmas. He must revel in it. All the things that are going on, and how we miss it here and there, here and there. And all by a holiday that was set aside for us to focus on God sending His Son to save His people from their sins. For most of the world, Christmas, has very little meaning. So we must ask the question, what child is this? And this morning we're going to look at three things this morning. And next Sunday we're going to look at three more things. What child is this? The first thing that I want us to look at, and if you would turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. These are all classic texts of the points that I'm going to share with you. They're not deep theological texts. They are basic classic text of all these points that are going to be made in the next 2 weeks. The first is this. The first point of when we think about this child in the manger, what child is this? What this baby that was born, that came to save us from our sins. What does the Scripture say about this child? The first thing that we need to see, the first thing right out of the gate is this, that this child is the incarnation of God. That He is God in the flesh. And the classic text of this is John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. It says this. You know this passage very well, but this is what it says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. If you would, just to humor me, would you drop down to verse 14? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the incarnation. Jesus and God are one. And God poured Himself into this child. Christmas is not about the Savior's infancy. It is about His deity. That God stooped. That God came to us. That He is truly Emmanuel. The world's vision and the world's look of Christmas uses this Savior as an infant, as a baby. And it's really a facade that conceals the message of Him coming to save us. How does a Christian explain the Almighty, the Creator of all, pouring Himself out, stooping to become a tiny infant? There's not much in this world, if you think about it, and you mothers know this very well, there's not much in this world that's more vulnerable than a baby. And yeah, Jesus was an infant and born of a virgin. And Jesus cried, and Jesus needed to be fed. Jesus was tired and needed sleep. And Jesus needed to be comforted and held. And this is the greatest greatest confusion in a lot of ways for Him to condescend in this way, the gulf that He had to stretch as He was poured God in heaven and poured Himself out as Keith perfectly said, as Galatians chapter 4 explains very clearly, at the perfect time, when in the fullness of time, which there's a lot in that passage of Scripture, the fullness of time, at the perfect time that they had planned from the beginning of all creation, that Christ was born and came and dwelt with us. How in the world did God condescend to come and be and put on flesh and blood like us? Can anyone fathom this? God to be born, and we're not sure if it was a cave or a stall or a, But God coming to a place and in this manger, how can our minds really even comprehend this truth? The span of this. We've heard stories after stories about, you know, if we were Christmas stories, that if we were able to communicate with other people in different languages, and how we could possibly be able to convince them of the gospel. But even that stretch is nothing compared to what God did. And I think that Dr. Sproul is right. I think the picture of God stooping over is a good picture of Christmas. That God bent over. That He came to us. How many times have we seen, and this is not, this image breaks down, but He talks about how many times have you seen a father bending over or getting on his knees to look at his child eye to eye, to talk to them. Eyeball to eyeball, to see them, to help communicate what He wants to. And that, in so many ways, that doesn't even fully show us, but that's what God did. He stooped and He became one of us. He is the incarnation of God. He became fully man and fully God. If you look with me and turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 for our second point. Colossians chapter 1. The second point, when we ask what child is this? What child is in the manger? This baby that people want to look at. It was the God coming to us, God stooping, but it is also the fullness of God. In that baby, the fullness of the Godhead dwelled in that infant. That's an amazing thought. And this is another classical text. A text that if you want to talk about the fullness of Jesus and God and their oneness together. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, really through verse 23, but we're going to read 15 through 20. This is what it says. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, by Him to reconcile all the things to Him. By Him, whether all things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. It pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell. There's never been another person like this. History teaches this. The Scriptures repeat this over and over, stressing His deity. Jesus is God in the flesh. This passage that we just said that we just read says that through Jesus, He created all things, everything. So what is it, how is it that a lukewarm Christian, how is it that they, how do they celebrate Christmas? Do they just go through the motions? Do they not sit back and think about this? I think all the time, what in the world, and I know that they don't celebrate it, but what do the Jehovah Witnesses do this time of year? As they walk around, they just, I guess they just think everybody's going to the bad place. I guess that's what... But what do the Mormons do? Because they don't really believe that Jesus is God. They don't. What do they do? What do what do lukewarm Christians do? Is it that they don't think about it? Maybe that's what it is. Maybe they don't really think about all the different things. That this baby in the manger is the fullness of God. In some way, to just simply go through the motion, wherever you are in your faith, just to simply go through the motion, in some way we will have to strip Christ of His deity. You have to do that. And then you have to redefine this holiday. Now, you may not do it consciously. You may have just fallen into some traps. I don't know. But if Jesus is truly the fullness of God, even as a baby in that manger, if He is God, that makes Him much, 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 much greater than the greatest man. In the manger, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt. The world's Christmas teaches that Christ, that this baby in the manger in some way has to be emptied. I've often wondered, and Michael Card sings a song, but I heard it from him, so I want to give him full credit. But I often, from right after I was saved, I was privileged to listen to Michael Card, which is he's a wonderful artist. He sings scripture. Y'all know, many of y'all know him. But he talked about in one of his songs, you know, that he's always wondered, and now it makes me, every Christmas I think about this, makes me wonder if when Christ was a little baby, if when He cried, did it get cloudy? And when He smiled, did the sun come out? Because He was the creator of all that. The stars, the moon, the sun, the seas, they all obeyed Him. And even as a baby, an infant, they obeyed Him. He was the Creator. There's something to that. And even as His mother, Mary, as you mothers have done, walked the night with your child. Was it a stormy night with Jesus? Because He was God. The fullness. That doesn't mean partially full. It means all of God dwelled in this child. And if you read the rest of the passage, the next verse it said that this happened because he was to reconcile creation to himself. He came to die to reconcile the world. The fullness. And then last, the last point today is the image of God. The very image of God. And the passage, if you want to know what God looks like, Jesus said, "Look at me." He's the very image of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. I hope you're writing these passages down. There's a lot of other verses that go with them, but if you want the main verses for all of these, the fullness of God, the deity of God, the image of God, these are the main passages. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, it says this: God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. That's part of why we're doing this Advent. That Pastor Kurt has already explained that. That's why we're thinking and doing a concentration on the prophecy of Christ's coming. That God spoke to His people in different times and different places, and He did it through His prophets. Let's keep reading. Verse 2. Has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things. Through Him He also made the worlds. There's Colossians. That's why I was building. There was a building process, and we're going to keep building on this image of Christ. Who's this baby in the manger? So that He also made all these things. He made all the world, and then God said, you are the heir of it. Who being the brightness, verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. The very image, the very expressed image of God. How do you even explain this passage? Dr. MacArthur says about this very verse that Christ is to God as the brilliant sunlight and the warmth is from the sun. How do you separate the light from the sun and the warmth from the sun? That is what it is, isn't it? How do you separate those two things? Where does the sun become a massive wad of gas, and where does it start becoming heat and light? How do you explain those things? And so MacArthur says, and says, it is the light, as the light is to the sun, and the warmth is to the sun, and the brilliance, the sheer brilliance of the sun That's what Christ is to God. Where does the separation? It is the same. It's the image. He brings God from a cosmic location to the very hearts of men and women, to you and I, to our children, to our families. He reveals God in His very essence to us. They cannot be divided. They cannot exist without one another. As I've been teaching in tributaries, we've been looking at the Trinity and how important the Trinity is, and how you can't break this down and how it works. And if you break one part of it down, it unfolds. It doesn't work. It can't work. The gospel can't work. And so how the very essence of Jesus, God, Jesus is the very essence of God. He reveals God to us. They are one. And through Christ, this invisible God has been made visible to us. John 14:9 says this, "You have seen me, you have seen the Father." That's an imperative statement in the Greek. If you look at that, it's not a, if you see me or if you know me, then you know the Father. It's an imperative statement. Jesus is standing up and saying, "You see me, you're seeing the Father." What did they do with that? What are we doing with that? Jesus is God in the fullest possible sense. The perfect image of God. And in some way, somehow, this image that we see of Christ in the manger all around us, somehow people have convinced themselves, well, this is only one way of seeing God. When Jesus said Himself, "You see me, you see God," there's no other way to view God. He is the image of God. It is been our prayer. It is still our prayer. It is our hope that this Advent season, as we start, today we start. Tonight we're coming back and we're going to participate again in our Advent services. But it is our very prayer and our hope for all of us, for the children in our congregation and in our families, for your friends and for your family, that we will truly begin to prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ. Isn't it a wonderful thought? I don't know if any of you know this yet. I don't know if you've looked in your calendar, but it's a wonderful thing. Christmas Day is on Sunday this year. That's great. That's a wonderful thing. And just so you can start preparing yourself, we're going to take the Lord's Supper that morning. We normally do it on Christmas Eve, but we're not going to have a Christmas Eve service this year. We're going to have a Christmas Day service. And we're going to take the Lord's Supper that day. And we're going to have a baptism service that day. How cool is that to get baptized on Christmas Day? Amen? We're going to do this. And we're going to worship the Lord together. And we're going to worship the Lord as individual families. And we're going to worship the Lord together as a family called New Hope. And I pray that this Sunday, as we start this Sunday, today, and as we are preparing our hearts, I pray you prepare your home for the sovereign King of the universe. And that we look at this baby differently. That the child of Christmas we will see as truly God. And we will worship Him as that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You. God, please help us not to be hard and gruff this Christmas, to look down our noses. Father, we break our hearts. Lord, thank You. Thank You that You've poured grace in our lives, Lord, that we can worship. And Lord, even with the grace that You've poured in our lives, we still get trapped in so many things. Lord, I pray that starting today, You will help us. You are a faithful Father. That You will point out areas in our lives and in our families' lives, things that we can change, things that we can do differently. Lord, help us to worship You this season. To see You as You are. Thank You for this morning. Do not leave us to ourselves. Continue to sanctify us. Continue to purge us. Continue to pour Your grace out in our lives. Lord, help us to pursue holiness. Lord, help us to teach our children and to lead our families and to help our friends. Lord, please help us to use this season for Your honor and for Your glory alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.